welcome to
Tiny
Table 3.
Yay!
What the heck was that?
I don't know.
Time for Tiny Table 3.
I can do a better German accent than that.
Where three nerds who can't remember names of swords sit around a tiny table and talk about them. You'll find that out very shortly. Our naked wrestling is put a sword in me. Basically, we're talking about the swords of the nerdverse, the ones we like, the ones we don't like, the ones that Stax puts up his pee hole. I don't know. Wow. That's what the title was. You wrote it.
You never cross swords. It says...
It's a play on the put a fork in me.
Oh.
Put a sword in me. I'm putting a sword in my pee hole.
Well, I wasn't going to say your vagina because you're a guy.
If it was a lightsaber, that would burn.
Yeah. All right. Pee hole or vagina would hurt. Okay. Our weekly wrap-up is about Deadpool and The Walking Dead. New stuffs that came out. And Milo being negative, and no. We'll cut him out for the most part. Shut up. Right game is about XCOM aliens.
XCOM.
And the Nerd Mixtape is about the movie The Witch. It's really more of a movie review. He totally went off topic. You have a day off from hearing about my shitty advice. And then we have our final words. So
I like how you just called your advice shitty. So
well, it's mediocre at best.
Oh my god,
it's mediocre at best. That's why it's called mediocre advice from a decent human being.
I got some advice for you guys. Learn that The Walking Dead is not
keep
that great.
Your temper.
God.
I'm Cloud City. I'm at geek _is_in.
And I am Small Stack. I'm at Small Stack, which is my Twitter handle. You can also find me at tinytable3.com. Or on Instagram at smallstack_tt3.
And this is Milo. I'm at Milito's Guitar, and I recently unfollowed The Walking Dead on Twitter.
Wow, we hate you. We're Tiny Table 3. We're at tinytable_3 on Twitter, at tinytable3 on Instagram. We're on Facebook. You can find us on tinytable3.com, most importantly. And all the things. So follow us there because, you know, we're kind of cool and we like to hang out with you. And also chat with us on the Facebooks and the things because we like hearing what you guys have to say. It helps us with our ideas.
I'll start also stating your discontent with The Walking Dead. They may stop talking about it. I said it.
Okay. All right. It's time for Tiny Table 3. Let's get this shit going.
I'm The Walking Dead because I feel like...
Let's do this. Let's ignore Milo the entire time.
I feel like everyone else is a zombie because they watch dumb shows and I'm the only one who's smart enough to not watch it anymore.
You like Jurassic World, so in your opinion...
Remember that time that person bent you over?
What?
Let's do this.
I'm not like, what?
Let's do this.
How is that pants?
Nope.
Because then you can't jizz in your pants.
You can jizz your underpants, technically.
You can, but it's not as fulfilling.
Okay, that's gross. I didn't need to hear that detail.
Yeah, I want to comment, but I don't.
Yeah, I'm afraid of where it'll go next.
Going on the internet
where it goes down next.
Yeah, that's way too much information.
Speaking of too much information, what about our naked wrestling?
Welcome to Tiny Table 3, everybody.
The naked wrestling was about what's the best pants to jizz in?
And nope.
The best pants. I like 501s. Straight legs, preferably.
Corduroy pants.
Cotton seems to...
Corduroy, that sounds terrible.
Yeah, because it channels it, you know, way.
Dude, what is next? Do you want to wear, like, those towel pants?
Oh, God. Towel pants? I've never heard of that.
That sounds like the greatest invention ever.
Like, terry cloth towel pants?
Dude, you could just piss yourself. That'd be awesome. Yeah.
No, you really can't.
You can't shit yourself.
Dude,
that
if you jizz in them, then you're going to have, like, this straight across cup or something.
You can make it out of material, same material you make socks out of. We know that works.
Everybody needs socks.
Okay.
Latex pants.
Anyway.
Ew. I could just hear like squeak, 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 and that's your ass cheeks rubbing together.
If you shit them, then there's no squeaky.
That cheek
just
I was going to say that cheek sound.
Stop. No. Okay, naked wrestling.
That was gross.
Welcome to Tiny Table 3.
I can't believe Stack surprised me. Me!
You know, how did it go from Creed? Anyways.
Okay, so naked wrestling.
Sure.
Naked wrestling. Naked wrestling this week is the best swords.
Best swords.
What is the best sword in the nerdverse? The whole nerdverse. This came from our writer, Jeff Gould, from tinytable3.com. Shameless plug. He had suggested that we talk about the best lightsaber, and which we will get to, by the way.
We always do.
We will get to the lightsabers. But overall, you guys have any impressions about... I've got a few.
Go ahead and go first.
Because I'm old. I picked a couple old ones. Number one, and this is only because it comes from my childhood, this is the Vorpal Blade.
Sounds familiar, but I can't think about it.
It comes from Alice in Wonderland.
Is it the Jabberwocky one that... yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
they're a dance group in Vegas. Yeah.
No, that's the Milo, no.
Oh, my God.
Shameless plug for my group in Vegas. I'm not really part of them. Not associated.
Lewis Carroll, Alice, Through the Looking Glass. Okay, yes. Yeah. But the reason why the Vorpal Blade holds a special place in my heart is because it was adapted famously to the Dungeons and Dragons universe.
Oh.
And it's a blade that on a critical roll could decapitate your enemy. That's why it was always like the coolest damn thing.
Cool.
And then
cool.
When I was a kid, when I was playing Dungeons and Dragons before I had read Alice in Wonderland, I knew of the Vorpal Blade before I heard anything about this Jabberwocky thing. Because Vorpal doesn't mean a damn thing. That whole poem is nonsense. But it became that the sword that decapitates, cuts off arms and stuff like that with the crit.
Cool.
With the crit.
Interesting.
Yeah. That was my first one.
Uh-huh. You want to keep going with yours? Because I've got two, but...
Still investigating?
I don't know what it's... I think it's the one Aragorn uses to tame the Army of the Dead.
Oh, that's...
Arindil? Is that...
Yeah, Arindil. Yeah.
Arindil?
Yeah, that's... Okay. Yeah. What was it? Well, I know it's the... is that his original one?
It's the Shards of Narsil's sword that gets reforged.
Yeah.
And it becomes a different sword.
Well, I always think of like Glamdring. Like I like the elven swords.
Me too.
Sting.
Gotcha.
Well, because as a kid, that was like the coolest thing. You know, a sword that will glow blue.
Well, I'd say a sword that can fight an army of ghosts is pretty sweet.
That's pretty damn street. I have to agree. You look up the name. Why am I? I'm drawing a blank on it.
Is what?
Sword?
I don't think it's Arindil. I don't think that's... That doesn't sound right.
Let me see.
No. You might be right.
I'll check.
Totally drawing a blank on that. The other... I wanted to mention Excalibur just because. It's Excalibur.
Yeah.
Yeah, from the author Arthur stories.
I mean...
Anduril.
Okay. You're on the right track. You're absolutely on the right track.
Okay. Cool. And it also means you're the king of Gondor, so you can be like... Because they have a bunch of horns.
Excalibur has that relation to the right to rule. So to have the sword. Oh, sometimes it gets mixed up with the sword and the stone myth.
Yeah,
but typically they're not the same sword.
It's cooler if they're the same sword.
No, because it hasn't come from the Lady in the Lake.
It's cooler. I think it's the same sword.
No, it's not the same sword.
I think it's the same.
Okay, for you guys out in the internet world, it's not. It's not, though. I know it's not.
Yeah, but it's kind of cooler. Just because Disney makes
it the same.
The same. Darth Maul's lightsaber, probably one of the cooler ones. It's very basic, but that's the first time like the blade lightsabers were kind of like.
Yeah, that was super cool.
I had an argument with the lady. Over this, she was going with going. With
I already
Darth
know
Maul.
You're lying because you said you were talking to a lady.
I like Kylo Ren's sword better than Darth Maul's. I just like the design better. It's more of a classic look. It looks like a sword.
It does look like a sword.
But that's kind of the problem I have with it.
Well, see, my problem with Darth Maul's is like it's just a big baton, you know.
Which requires
he's
more
essentially
skill.
Like, you know, he's like the, what's the guy at the front of the marching band?
The leader? The band leader?
Yeah.
I don't know, because I think it requires more skill to wield. Well, it definitely requires more skill.
No,
to wield.
I'm just talking shit. It's a badass. But I like the design better.
Okay.
I like that hilt. I think that is awesome. I think it looks cooler. To take nothing away from Darth Maul's baton.
I liked Darth Maul's baton, but in toy form, it's a very difficult one to make it go out in those coney things at the same time. So in that sense,
okay, then
I prefer
win.
The regular lightsaber.
Gotcha. Are you pulling up pictures of your swords?
Also, Yoda's. Uh-huh. Also, I know we're going to talk about the lights. I know that we're going to talk about lightsabers later, but I mean, Yoda's little sword is so cute when he's little and me.
Yoda is the shittiest battle. Okay.
Okay. I'm not talking about the battle. I'm talking about how cute the little lightsaber is.
That's why
it looks like a little green glowing
dildo.
That's exactly it.
Well,
first off, at his age, it shouldn't even turn on half the time.
Poor Yoda.
I swear it doesn't have it all the time.
Yoda's got the Force with him, man.
Well, I mean, people get in these like weird sort of discussions about like lightsaber design and, you know, in the color. I mean, they all kind of look the same, right? I mean,
unless you have the purple Mace Windu.
If you actually look at the hilts, like they never really spend a lot of time.
I know, but you never get a close up.
You don't get a close up.
Hey, check out the hilt.
Unless you go to, which is what's so fun about the area in Disney right now.
Check out the hilt.
Yeah. Milo just jizzed in Stax's face.
Good thing I'm wearing corduroys. That shit just rolled right off.
Talpans.
Talpans.
That's the word of the day, everybody.
No, that's what's really cool about the whole Disney setup right now is being able to see some of those replicas up close. Like a lot of how the different helmets, like everybody has their own like little like, you know, art going on and the hilts are all different. I thought that was kind of fun to be able to look at because I've owned... a replica of the Mace Windu sword for a while, but I guess even owning one, I didn't realize that my brothers who have other ones, theirs was different at the hilt because the replicas are pretty good ones, but still there's not the drastic differences that they actually do have. They're really cool.
Yeah.
I have a couple now. I'm ready.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to come back with more later. Okay. I got a whole big list.
Oh, well, you can finish your list.
I guess my other ones are kind of stupid, but I like the samurai sword from Kill Bill, the Hotori Hanzo.
Okay, that one's cool.
That's pretty big because it's hard to not love that sword.
Yeah, that's cool.
And just because when I first played Halo, the energy blade.
Oh,
that was one hit, one kill.
Totally. When that one came out, that's a good one.
Yeah, I like the energy blade.
That was fucking cool.
Yep. Still is, man.
It still is. It's still pretty. It's a
pretty cool design.
Well done. Well done, sir. That was a good one.
But when we come back around the table to see which one's best, I'm going to have to think because I'm not sure. I'm still up in the air on what I think is like.
All right.
Number one. All right. So you guys next. Go ahead.
So I have three. One of them is I'm Lord of the Rings as well. Is I think it's Hatafang. It's the one that.
Oakenshield?
No. The one that.
It's a big log.
But I'm saying, like, he's the one that wields the Goblin Slayer.
Oh, you got it. That's right.
I can't remember what that one's called.
No, the one that Arwen has.
Okay.
Because it has such a great...
Oh, no, yeah, that's a great sword.
And it's got such a great storyline behind it about the mortal... Like, it was first, like, you know, like, it goes, like, from the love... Kind of, like, the little love story behind it. I'm a chick, man. Fuck you guys.
It's an awesome sword. I'm in total agreement. The design of it is so elegant.
It is.
And it's all got that sort of, it's like language.
It's got the elven language all across it from the hilt. The way through the blade.
Yep.
I have a replica of it. It's not a well-weighted replica. So I'd be really interested to see how that one could properly be weighed out because obviously it's made for movies and whatever, but it's got such an interesting, beautiful curve to it. I've always really loved it, and I really love the fact that it has the inscription from the hilt all the way to the end tip of the blade.
That's a good choice.
That's always been my favorite from the Lord of the Rings universe. In Disney, in Who Framed Roger Rabbit, Frank Sinatra is a sword.
Oh my god, dude, that's like.
And that, I love me some Frank Sinatra.
You win, man. That wins. I love that movie. And that when he pulls that sword and he starts singing. Uh-huh. Oh, that's so great.
I love that sword. I've always loved that sword. Yeah. Even as
you
a kid
slay
before.
Slay me with that sword.
Right? Even as a kid before I knew that, like, before I could really piece together that was Frank Sinatra's voice, I loved that sword. I always thought it was so suave and cool.
That's a great choice.
That's my other one. And the last one I have is probably, I don't know if you guys will know it. It's the Tetsaiga from Inuyasha. And it's a sword that can only really, it only really comes to life when Inuyasha wields it. And at first he thinks that it's broken, and it's actually like formed from a god's, like he's a demigod from like the wolf or whatever. And I believe it's been so long since I've watched it, but I believe it was formed from his like father, who is a full wolf's like tooth. It's like a fang. So it's actually a fang, but it's, you know, true to anime form. It's like a full body sword.
Right,
like it's ginormous, but it only really comes to life when he uses it. And it has like kind of like this, extra force power where he can cut like straight through things when he wields it a certain way, but he doesn't really know how to use the sword for a really long time throughout it all. And the only time that it really comes to life is when he needs to save Kagome, who he keeps falling in love with throughout the thing. And so it only comes to life when he really is like scared to lose her and needs to make it work. And then he starts to learn how to really use its powers.
That's awesome. That's a good choice too. So I looked at some of the anime stuff too. It's hard not to pick some of those.
Yeah. They just have really cool swords. It's just a really giant one, but I really like that it has kind of the myth of like, I believe it's his father's fang or something like that. And he's a wolf god, but his mother was a human. And so he's a demigod. And his brother wants the sword because his brother is a full god, but it only really works for Inuyasha. So it's also got something where it's like innately tied to a person, which I kind of always like about fantasy swords.
That's awesome.
Those are my three.
See, that's a tough question because, well, I mentioned Aragorn's sword, which I already forgot the name again. Anduil? Andruil?
just mumble it really quickly. No one will notice. Are you kidding?
Okay, we'll just...
Break for edit. Put it in there. so you know what's trouble
we're going to get in by not having the accurate name of that sword, man.
Hold on.
You said it was Arendelle, right?
But he was wrong. He was wrong. It was something else.
It wasn't.
It's really hard with those because there's so many names in the LOTR universe.
I always think of his sword because, I mean, there's...
Anduril, also called the Flame of the West.
Okay.
Reforged from the sword Narsil.
Okay.
I also love from the Lord of the Rings universe that they get reforged from other swords, so they have even more storyline to them, which is similar to the Hadafang sword. It's really cool.
Yes. There's not a specific one, but the Witcher swords are pretty sweet. Like the looks of them.
Oh, yeah.
They don't have names sometimes, but you can add to them and stuff. But the Witcher swords are pretty cool, and that whole universe is kind of neat.
Yeah, the silver sword versus the steel sword.
Yeah, and I don't think there's a lot of mythologies that use silver swords necessarily.
And those the silver swords are sort of, those are the Witcher swords. Yeah. And they're pretty neat looking. They're
pretty cool.
Yeah, when you start upgrading them.
The Balrog's flame sword.
Oh. Okay.
That one's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
Pretty good.
Because then pretty he just good. Like, he can make it into a whip.
Yeah.
It's like crazy because it's magic. And then, I already said Darth Maul's, and I'm trying to think of the last one, and I can only think of the character saying my father's blade, but that can be a lot of things, so I can't pull it out of my head.
It's the dude's blade
from a movie, or
it's like a cartoon, but I can't remember, or maybe it was Samurai Jack. Hold on. Let me check that. Okay. I remember Samurai Jack had a pretty sweet sword.
I would
anybody
imagine.
Remembered
I'd love Samurai Jack. They started producing those again.
They did?
Yeah.
I didn't really watch them that much.
I did, but at the time I was hungover a lot. It's about the same
Saturday
time.
Morning cartoons or Sunday morning cartoons?
Yep. It was the same time. It was that and Powerpuff Girls.
Oh, yeah. I used to watch Powerpuff Girls all the time.
Yep.
Okay.
I was hungover during that time,
hangover,
too. Weird.
Super hangover cartoon. That's another naked wrestling.
This is the story of Samurai Jack's sword, because I remember they sent him into the future.
I just couldn't move on Sundays, so I watched cartoons all day long.
The Munsters, Gilligan's Island.
Gilligan's Island.
So Samurai Jack's sword is the only one that can harm Aku, who sends him into the future, and that's why. Right. Because so it's a Japanese katana forged by the deities Odin, Ra, and Vishnu, and from the power of righteousness within the samurai lord's heart. And it's the only one that can harm the main big guy. So that one was always cool because they talked about like how his sword is special and he always lost
it's quite
the episodes and stuff. Yeah. And he had to get it back and then he killed some people.
Yeah, it's quite a mix of gods to be forging.
So it's pretty cool.
Wow. Okay, so
good one.
Around the table, if you got to pick one sword that you would wield for all eternity, which would it be?
God, this is really hard. Yeah. Just like one. They're all super cool.
I'd actually have to go with Samurai Jack's sword then. If God's forged it and it can harm like a evil deity, then it's probably pretty damn cool to have around.
You know, I'm not much of a fighter, so I'm going to go with the Sinatra sword because then he could lull me to sleep every night.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I'm just, you know.
I'm going to go with Excalibur because...
Classic.
Stone?
No.
Because then you're a king?
That's right. And plus, I get that Lady in the Lake's kind of hot. That watery tart, which is a Monty Python reference.
Oh, I've never seen it.
So I think we're good.
Oh, Milo, you can go sit in a corner and then jump off a bridge. That's cool.
This was a good.
Would I sit in a corner before jumping off a bridge? It seems like this was the furthest place from a bridge.
This was a good week.
It was a good week.
It was for if you're lame.
Shut up.
Have you seen Deadpool?
Yes.
No, you haven't. You're such a liar.
I saw it in my dreams.
Strangely enough, breaking box office records.
Crazy enough, actually, because this is a character that Ryan Reynolds had to fight to get made.
For 10 years.
And now he's breaking records.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? Good for him, and good for him on the fact that he stayed very true to the Deadpool character.
Yes.
And that is what I think makes the movie. I do actually have some problems with the movie.
I don't know
if you do.
I do too, but they're forgivable for me.
Yeah, mine is forgivable enough to where I was enjoying myself through the whole movie. I laughed really hard throughout the whole movie, that's what I really wanted from Deadpool.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm cool with the movie all around, but I have to say, first of all, those beginning credits were fucking phenomenal.
Dude.
The strongest part of the entire movie is within the first few. Sorry, spoilers. Spoilers. So many spoilers.
Yeah, everybody, we saw Deadpool. We're going to spoil the shit out of it. If you don't want to know about it, turn off the podcast now.
Yeah.
Well, you don't want to know about it anyways.
Deadpool
dies. Shitty movie.
Sorry.
You don't.
Shitty movie.
It's... me and you were going this week.
Yeah.
We were going this week. I'm dragging you. I'm paying. It's on me.
You played a dangerous game.
I'm off on Friday. I'm gonna pick you up. I'm gonna buy some popcorn, maybe a few drinks. You're gonna watch some Deadpool.
You want a little Slurpee? You want a Slurpee?
Oh, I will get you a Slurpee.
That's not fair.
Slurpee bribery.
So, would you offer a crack rehab guy crack?
Yes.
If it got him to see Deadpool. Yeah.
Okay, makes sense.
But you're right. The credits were genius.
The credits, I was laughing my ass off from the beginning. That was so Deadpool, so right on.
I just like the writers, the guys that really matter.
Yeah. No, the one before it was like something like produced by or like something about the produced by or something was like a bunch of asshats or something.
Asshats,
and I was just like... Asshats, it's so good.
It's so good.
It was really funny. That beginning was so right on to comic book. It was rad.
Yeah.
So I loved it. From the get-go, it like had me. It hooked me. I was ready for some serious Deadpool.
Yeah.
Then you get the excessive violence, which is also very Deadpool.
Very.
Which was really fun to see.
Yes.
I mean, don't take your kids. Like, seriously, don't be a dumbass. Don't take your kids.
I thought it wasn't as bad as it could have been, as far as the violence goes.
Well, I agree.
Because the comic book is...
The comic book
violent.
Is violent. Yeah. So I was really happy to see at least it get kicked up another level, though, through the first half. Now, here's my problem.
Yeah.
So that beginning is so great. Everything setting up the character is really awesome. Not all done to a T to how he's done in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
But from like a comic book standards of what you allow when you redo origin story, very well done that way. So, you know, I get why they kind of combined making Ajax the doctor. Like, you get it. You would have introduced too many characters. It would have taken too long.
They streamlined it. Yeah, for sure.
I'm totally into it. I actually had no problems with that, except for the fact that Ajax really doesn't make sense as a doctor, in my opinion.
No.
And it's like, you don't be, you're not an experiment, and then you get to become the doctor for experiments. Like, even them just saying that, I was like, you could have just left that out, because I get what you were doing. But that didn't bother me. I was like, I'm with you where it's like excusable. My problem is the first half of the movie is this back and forth, super quick, in and out of breaking the fourth wall, fast paced, super fun energy. And then once you get caught up to his story, because he's telling you the story, you're going back and forth between a lot of things. So you're as jumbled and as crazy as Deadpool is.
Yep.
So fun. Then you get halfway through the story and you realize that there was a budget to the movie. They call it out, which is really funny, but you did realize it before they call it out. You realize the budget a little bit more, and the pacing stops that way. And then it turns into a serious love story.
It does.
And that is where those are my three problems with it.
And I said that to someone too. I said, as far as Deadpool goes, and to a degree, I understand why they do it, because they have to make it accessible to at least a wider audience.
Totally understood why they did it. I just was kind of bummed out.
It becomes a pretty conventional love story.
When you start making excuses for people, that's when things go down.
How you need to make Deadpool 2.
Yeah,
to be honest.
That's it. Because if they had made it if they took Deadpool right off the comic book page, I don't know that the audience would have been there.
People couldn't handle it.
Yeah, it's too bizarre and nihilistic in a lot of ways.
And one thing, I read one thing that somebody wrote that I really agreed with, because I was like, how are people in the comic book world like really stacking this one up? Because I've read a good amount of Deadpool, just because I wrote for a Deadpool video game. So I had to get to know Deadpool. So that's why I actually like this one was kind of like, yay, I'm so excited for this to come out. But also I'm a little bit scared, because Deadpool's a really fucked up, weird character in the universe. And he would be hard to convince, which is probably why Ryan Reynolds had such a hard time. He would be a hard character to convince the mass to get into.
Right.
I think they did a great job doing that. I think those decisions were all made in order to have a Deadpool 2.
And they got one.
And they did.
They got one, yep.
And so I'm cool with it, because I'd rather see Deadpool's story continue to evolve. But I was a little bit bummed, just in the sense that I was like, oh fuck, like you came on to a Valentine's Day movie wanting to like not have necessarily a Valentine's Day movie,
and you
ended up with a Valentine's Day movie.
Yeah. I think all your critiques are, I agree with all those.
We'll see.
I thoroughly enjoyed the film. I didn't.
No, I laughed through the whole thing.
Yeah.
I loved it. And the end credits, hilarious. You don't get to say anything because you didn't see it.
Jeff saw it and he told me a little bit.
All right.
So he told me his critiques, and this is his critiques. He says some scenes don't make any sense in the movie, whereas it's just, he says that he feels like some of the scenes were put in just to see how they could push the envelope, doesn't actually do anything for the character himself. And also, he says that the bad guy, he says the whole match in her mouth thing was really stupid.
That's so minor.
But he said that it really bugged him, because it was like totally set up.
And I disagree with him. I mean, number one, Deadpool is gratuitous.
Yeah.
Yeah. The complaint he didn't really develop the character. I'm like, well,
his thing is like, it was cool. He was cool with the violence, but like the whole, apparently there's a scene where they go into a strip club and it has nothing to do with anything except for.
Sure it does. His girlfriend works.
But that's it.
He
said it went on a little too long to like the point where it was like, okay, we get it. You guys are rated R and you can do all this stuff.
I didn't feel that way about that one.
You guys are just sucking Deadpool's dick.
No.
Just like everybody is.
I really didn't feel, you know me, I don't want to spend a lot of time like in shit like that.
I'll wait for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I honestly was waiting for more.
Me too.
Gratuitous violence and sex, and I went, this is pretty tame.
Especially second half to me.
You guys,
yes,
once you get into second half, it's and on. No, but
honestly,
you see
some
that's
boobies,
what I.
But
yeah,
big deal. I mean, look, the episode of Walking Dead, the premiere was way more violent and disturbing than anything Deadpool did.
Walking Dead is a comic, people, by the way. So if you read the comic, you will not be surprised by anything the show does. And
that's
the
not
show's
true
lame.
And you're an idiot.
The show is lame.
All right, it's not. Whatever.
Same five story arcs every season.
Wow, I hate you. Anyways, so Deadpool, definitely go see it.
Spoiler,
right?
Carl lost an eye.
Definitely
well,
go see it.
We're going to spoil that next. So.
Definitely wait for
thank you for the edit.
But definitely wait for the end credits.
Yep.
And I say don't listen to Milo. Go in with an open mind and just fully enjoy it. It's just fun. It's
when
just
have I
fun.
Ever steered you wrong, el público? When?
Always.
Always.
Nope.
Jurassic World.
Jurassic World made millions.
I did like Jurassic World, though.
Oh. See?
I'm in the middle. I understood your points, but I
just don't have my knees to the ground and my mouth open wide for everything that comes my way.
Yeah, T-Rex cock.
I like the
I'd rather have that in my mouth than Deadpool's
hell
stupid
no.
grody dick.
Grody. It is. It would be grody.
It would be pretty grody.
At least the Tyrannosaur is a story to tell later.
What the fuck?
Hey, guess what happened to me? Well, you would never guess what happened to me this weekend. There was a Tyrannosaur. Yeah, let's not talk about it now.
By the way, Deadpool's girlfriend was really pretty. I don't know who that actress
yeah,
is.
Yeah, she was.
Oh,
here's my other complaint, Deadpool. I really liked Colossus.
And Supersonic.
And Negasonic.
Or Negasonic.
Yeah. Teenage
Supersonic.
Forehead.
Supersonic. Ninja Turtles. They, I don't know what
they,
the fuck
I mean, they, obviously
it.
They're peripheral, but I wanted more. They just, they're there at the beginning and they're there at the end and that's about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're nowhere really in there.
Colossus was a really funny character.
He's a really funny character.
I was a little bit like, what the fuck? But at the same time, he made me laugh every time.
That he looked the way he looked.
Yeah, it looked great.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm impressed by that. I'm impressed that they made him Russian, actually. Or
they
Ukrainian.
Did a great job with it.
So finally.
Negasonic is pretty much as fodder for his jokes.
Super great. They had great back and forth.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought she was pretty
great. I'll give
great.
Them that on the X-Men, because they do kind of a shitty job when they try to take X-Men away from Fox, because they can't really do it.
Well, Deadpool is metafiction on comic books. So, I mean, he's basically just riffing on the bullshit that comic books does.
The amount of Hugh Jackman and Wolvie humor was so good.
It is great.
So good. For those of you who don't read Deadpool, like, he is fixated on Wolverine. So the amount that you see in the movie was just like so right on. It was hilarious.
Yeah.
There was actually a Batman versus Superman trailer that released.
Yeah.
That was pretty damn cool.
I haven't seen the latest one.
I think you need to see it.
Yeah, the fight one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've ever seen.
We're going to take a look
at that. Okay, I'm going to have to look at it later. But honestly, I have to tell you guys one quick thing. I went to go see Star Wars. When I went to go see it for the fifth time, I saw the trailer again. For Batman vs. Superman, and I look over, and my boyfriend's like, yeah! And I'm just sitting there going, like, so fucking stupid.
I like
so mad.
I like it, dude.
But then the Civil War trailer comes on every time after that one, and I get really excited again.
Yeah, but Civil War, I think I'm actually more worried about Civil War than I am Batman vs. Superman.
You shut your dirty whore mouth.
Really?
Because Civil War is kind of a very big story.
It is.
And they can fuck that one up.
You shut your whore mouth.
Batman versus Superman's a little bit more in the bag, I think. It's
well,
a little bit
I mean,
easier.
It
to
is easier because he's drawing off off of a couple different storylines, so he can.
I'm just saying, I'm gonna go see Civil War, and it looks cool, but I mean,
if Winter Soldier was any indication, then
okay, I'm just saying,
the captain has been going in a good trajectory of like better, and this trailer is. Phenomenal.
Yeah,
so I'm really excited. Okay. We have Walking Dead stuff.
Walking Dead premiere. Right, mid-season premiere.
Mid-season premiere. Yeah.
Let's speed through this one because it's really not that important.
Oh my God, I hate you.
Oh, everyone else in the universe likes it. And you know what?
Me and Jeff
zombie.
Are both in agreement.
And Jeff Gould wrote an amazing trash of Walking Dead for tinytable3.com. Please.
That you actually let him post?
You know, he's got points. But it's a zombie story. Relax. I mean, you don't go to a Disney movie and go, God damn it, they killed somebody again.
No.
They killed the parents.
No. Yeah.
They
oh my God,
the
they broke
parents.
Up the family.
This is where I'm gonna
again.
This is where I gotta defend my bro in the agreements of this is because it's not that we're complaining that they kill people or that they, you know, that they're on the survival like mode. Obviously that's gonna be the thing. The problem is, We know who's going to die. It's never a shock.
You don't.
It's
no,
never a shock.
No.
If you pay enough attention, guys, you will see the arcs.
No.
You don't.
Oh, my God, you guys. Come on.
You don't.
And then the whole way that their survival goes, like, every settlement
look,
they go to.
You haven't watched in season 2, so we're going to move on and talk about the premiere.
Yeah.
Anyway,
fine.
So,
you know what? Go read that article and then come back and talk to me, okay?
Watch one of the episodes that's been recently made, then come back and talk to us.
Yeah, watch the mid-season premiere.
And once you get your mouth off Walking Dead's dick.
Okay.
And for the rest of the planet that actually saw it. I thought the opening sequence was great.
Yeah, I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, because we don't get Negan at all yet.
It was
no.
It was whatever.
Shut up, Milo. I really liked that one. It definitely showed some great solidarity between those three after what they've been through out there together was a good thing. But also, I wasn't expecting that moment.
I wasn't at all.
I thought they were gone for it.
I did, too, because that was the big bet. I'm waiting for Daryl to go down. I'm just waiting for Glenn to die.
Yeah.
Which is going to happen.
They just keep teasing at it and teasing at it with both of them, leaving them out there for so many things. And they got rid of... shut up, Milo. They got rid of Tyrese, like, prematurely. And so then it kind of scared me with Abraham.
Abraham, that's it, yeah.
So, yeah, I was like, oh, my God, this is it. They're going to do it. They're going to do it.
And I
was so nervous.
And I was doing the whole, like, the mental, like, okay, so if they're going to kill somebody, he's definitely in danger because he's minor enough to pick out. And,
yeah.
And so is Sasha.
So is Sasha. She's been a peripheral character.
Yeah, I thought she was going to get by it.
First off, this is how you can tell someone's going to die on The Walking Dead. I wonder what
happened. But the RPG shot was brilliant.
With
Daryl and the...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That was...
Didn't see it coming, and I was like, yes!
Didn't see it coming.
Yeah, that was a cheer moment. That was great.
I was
And no
I
one
was
would
afraid.
Have seen that.
Yeah.
Because it's not in the comic books. Daryl doesn't exist in the comic books.
And
completely
he just
separate
sneaks
scene.
Out. Like, they didn't even,
so,
like, hint at it.
Don't get a beard. Shut your pile.
I'm just saying.
Take the whore mouth out of here. We're
I'm
done
just
with
saying
you.
That. I mean, anyway.
You're right. But
you know what? You guys are right.
And Sam, that was a lot of people to kill.
Yeah.
In one sequence.
Well, the way that the
brutal.
Okay.
The way that Michonne decides to just she's just like fuck
that
it.
Ron,
you guys aren't talking about it. You just are going. Yeah. I know, right? Yeah.
Well, people have seen it.
There was you have to see it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You know, you guys are right.
You stop. We're talking about the show.
Milo.
I mean, you're not.
Seriously.
But there's... I have to edit you out completely. But yeah, I did not expect them killing the whole family.
Not the whole family.
The whole family.
I thought the little kid for sure.
I thought for sure.
I was kill him.
We knew he was
plus
going.
We all wanted him gone.
Yes, yeah.
But Jesse was a great character. And she was strong. And Rick finally had a little bit of life back into him. And the way that, like, he was having these flashbacks as it's happening, like, he let his guard down for a second. And then what happens? He doesn't want to, like, keep hurting. Like, before, Rick, like, 2 episodes earlier would have just fucking killed that little punk.
Yeah. Yep.
This episode, he's, like, having a hard time with it. And then Michonne just fucking, like,
good stuff.
That was great. And and Michonne's been the one stopping a lot of these things. Like, she's the one kind of going, like, chill. I'm on your team. I'll always back you up. But let's, like...
Yeah.
Like, we need to be good with all of these people and, like, do what we've done for each other.
Yeah.
And then she's just like, fuck this kid. That was pretty sweet. I really like the doctor girl.
Yeah. Well, I thought all that stuff sort of came... Everybody came together in this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really liked the way that worked out.
So I love the doctor girl. I've loved her arc of how afraid she was, but she is very intelligent and she is a character that they need around. And she was very much put in danger to where she could have gone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I kind of expected her to go.
Yeah, I did, too.
Yeah.
I did not expect the guy to go.
The wolf?
That way. Yeah. Little fucker.
The guy was great. Great evil character.
It was, but I fucking hated him.
But the direction was really terrific. How you got that subtle change in him. You know, because like he comes back to save her and the question is whether was he just doing that to save himself? But then he did it again and you see Carol witness him do it.
Yeah.
And that gives her getting really good direction. Just a slight recognition by Carol that she might have been wrong, that the guy she witnessed the guy save her.
Yeah.
And
but she's still Carol.
Still Carol. But the way that whole episode just brought it all together, where everyone is.
Yeah.
They hit this point where everybody is ready to battle.
They're
ready.
Everyone's fighting. Even the father, who's been such a little bitch this whole time.
Yeah. Yep.
I was surprised by him. I didn't think he'd kill Judith. Like, I thought, okay, he's keeps fucking up, but he's like getting a little stronger. Mm-hmm. He has. And I was like, okay, he's not going to kill Judith, but I didn't think he'd go back out the way that he did.
Yeah.
So that was like, he finally realized, like, you can pray and pray and pray, but you're like, it's time for you to do something.
I don't know how you feel about this, but I really think they're going to keep. And again, if you guys don't know this, spoiler. I think they're going to keep Glenn's death traditional to the comic books.
I don't see how else you can play that one off. Yeah. So I do think they're going to do it that way.
Yeah. And that's going to be horrifying.
It's going to be it was the worst death of the comic book.
It's yeah.
Worse than the twins' death.
Yeah,
it was the worst.
It would have been better to have let him die. On that the bed of zombies. But
they had me. You know what? They had me quite a few times because Milo has a point in which there have been times where you're just like, well, that's the character that's going to die.
Right.
I do feel like that has happened from time to time. I don't feel like this episode had that because even Glenn's like I thought maybe they are going to take him out that way because he did see Maggie at least. They had the moment. He's saving his wife.
Yep.
It's a hero's exit.
Yep.
So I thought they might take him out right now. And I was like,
I was ready for it too.
Yeah.
Then you got that great moment with Abraham.
Yeah.
Yep. Up on the wall. Good stuff. Good.
It was a good mid-season premiere.
Good stuff.
I think they did a lot of things that maybe haven't been great, like, you know, that have felt a little bit repetitive.
Oh, sorry.
I think they really brought some new elements out for this one. Also, I really liked the burning head from the beginning, the guys.
Oh, yeah.
That was a great shot.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah, did you watch Talking Dead afterwards?
No.
They're the director.
I fell asleep. That's why I'm telling you, like, there was like 2 seconds after a commercial because it was just so late. I watched it. I DVR'd it, and it was just so late. I just passed out. So I didn't see it.
Dead deer.
Carrie Underwood.
I know, really? What a weird. Yeah,
well, it was
what a
weird. Weird. Yeah. Maybe because the Grammys.
Yeah, that's part of it. She was in the show. She knew the show. So, but the director talked about that scene where they had the actors act it out. They cut, left everything where they were, and they put dummies on there with blood bags and then literally blew them up just as it was. So you actually see when you see all the body parts fly.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah,
it was a great scene.
It was a great scene.
Well done.
I didn't see that coming.
Didn't know they talked about it, too. Like, I was very impressed by that whole scene. It was really fun.
Good stuff. Okay, so let's move on.
Okay.
Well,
you can write your critique.
No, you guys are right. I was thinking about it. I'm like, you know, Walking Dead's kind of like this show about the Civil War I'm watching. Really rooting for the North, but I don't know how it's going to end. Anyways.
Stupid, I hate you.
That was a joke on that. It's totally predictable.
Okay, we're going to go on to the right game.
Okay. We'll listen to Kurt talk more about better things, at least.
I was just going to talk a little bit about XCOM, because XCOM had its release just a couple weeks ago for XCOM 2. And XCOM goes back to 1994.
Really?
It's an old game. It was on the American release, I believe it was, and you internet people can correct me if I'm wrong, I believe it was originally, I think it was XCOM UFO Defense? Something like that.
I wouldn't know.
Well, I'm old, so, yeah. but it was originally, again, but same basic setup. It was it's an alien invasion game. Plot-wise, you have this this world council that has created this elite force. XCOM is short for extraterrestrial combat unit that you're in charge of. And this is the ethereals, or this alien race that invades. And you learn as you make it through the course of the game. They basically infiltrate different planets and enslave different species, the ethereals. And the game, plot-wise, there isn't a whole lot there. There really isn't. But it got popular enough where there were a number of novels published. Kind of like, you know, Halo did it. And, you know, so you can actually, in 1995, there's a book by name of an author by the name of Diane Duane. She's written lots of works. She wrote an XCOM novel. That's the one that everyone kind of points to as being a decent one. There's a lot of bad ones. out there, not surprisingly. Yeah. Although
I was just going to say that normally happens too with things like that.
Yeah, but it has the same type of feel of kind of like a an Ender's Game or a Starship Troopers kind of feel to it.
Okay, but I get you.
But the game itself, though, is kind of like it's more about the individual missions. There is a plot as you make your way through it, but it's more about building up your different squads, and it has an RPG element. So every time you finish your mission, all your squad members start off as rookies, and they become squaddies, and they become sergeants and lieutenants, captains,
all right,
majors, so on. And as you go through, as you attack and defeat different aliens, you basically collect their bodies and they autopsy them, and then you learn different things about them, and
that's
you incorporate.
Cool.
It's pretty damn fun. It's intense. And it's not much for graphics. I mean, you know, the new one is a step above. XCOM Enemy Unknown was the reboot,
I remember
2012,
that one.
I think, is when that came out. And when I was at E3, I got to take a look at the new one, which is XCOM 2, and just got a chance to play a little bit of it. Graphically, it's not like all that impressive. It's more about the strategy, the different.
Do you play as like a board still too?
It's on a grid system, so it feels a lot like kind of like a Dungeons and Dragons style combat.
Okay.
Because you essentially can, depending on the weapon you're using, you can typically move a certain distance and fire. Or you can double move and not fire. And
that's
you have
cool.
you like when you click, you get like a grid appear on the board, and then you can move so far. And different members have different skill sets. So you can have a support, or you can have heavy weapons, assault. And you guys know this, the board game, which I'm going to force you guys to play.
I want to play. I want to play it.
I like board games for those kinds of games more than I like video games.
Yeah, this one's just getting rave.
It's a co-op, which is really cool because there's been sort of this revolution in cooperative board games, which is a really neat idea. Yeah. And this one is really cool because if you play the video game, when you play the video game, you have these different agents that you connect with. So you're essentially the squad leader, but you go and you talk to like the engineering department. There's a guy that's developing technology. You go talk to the researchers. And when you play the board game, everyone takes up a role. So mm-hmm. you have the science officer, you got the commander who's basically does the finances. You've got the squad leader, and each person does a different thing. Some will launch, you know, interceptors when UFOs appear over continents. You know, some are developing technologies that will give skills to other players. One person is sort of managing the budget, how much money can we spend to recruit new members. They do a nice job. And the thing about the board game is that it has and I highly recommend it. It's XCOM Enemy Unknown is the board game. And it has two main phases to it. So when you play the first part, it's all timed. It's pretty intense. It's like you download an app, you get it on a tablet or your phone, and one of the players is in charge of that. And it's like, okay, go. Science officer has to, you know, choose a skill, and the clock starts ticking off. You know, and then it'll say like, warning, UFO sighted over North America and Africa. Okay, you place them, get them up there. Warning, enemies in base. You flip a card, you put them in the base, and it's all timed. And you got to like,
you got to make quick decisions.
Yeah, and then it stops, and then you're in the resolution phase, and then the board's set, and now it goes to each person. Okay, so now I'm in charge of sending out the interceptors to attack the UFOs. Player goes through, and you and then you have these separate missions that are set up, and as you complete individual missions, when you complete enough missions, it'll signal you final mission available, and that's if you can defeat that, you guys win the game.
It's a lot of different. Like it's, parts and pieces.
If you look at the board, it looks like holy shit. This is not
yeah. I was gonna ask like how overwhelming is it to start to play?
You know, once you're in it, it's not that bad. Mm-hmm. And actually, you know, they have a tutorial, and even playing on easy, you can hit pause, which you absolutely recommend as during the time phase. It's like okay, I've got
just
15
still,
seconds.
Yeah.
I got my card on. Pause. Okay, what do I do? And that makes it a lot more
Doable.
Doable, yeah. Gotcha. But I played it with the time phase, and I would definitely start with doing the pausing, but there's something about the intensity, even if you're doing it on easy, that makes it a lot more fun. Because it's got that, oh shit, go.
But I bet just kind of like running through it at least once, so you know what you're supposed to do, and then you can quickly jump into the time.
And the cool thing is if you're quick and you beat the time phase, the seconds that are left on the clock for you benefit you later on.
Oh.
Or if you go over, it hurts you. So there's an incentive to hit the done.
Yeah.
And moving on to the next section. So it banks those seconds for you.
Pause. Oh, 14 seconds. Finished it.
Yeah. So I haven't read a lot of alien invasion stories. I tend to like in XCOM is definitely of the scary aliens. It isn't like, we did this a while back, the should we contact aliens thing in Naked Wrestling a few weeks back. And like Derek, who writes for Tiny Table 3, was like doing the whole like, how do we know they're evil?
Yeah.
You know, they're not, they could just be higher. And I like some good, scary. These are, one of the best parts of the, not much a story, but the aliens themselves are pretty damn cool. They have these, one of the alien types is the Thin Man, which is where like the aliens have sort of tried to mimic human characteristics, so they're these sort of like twisted looking guys in suits that
weird.
Attack
they're just,
which is really
just like freaky
creepy. Yeah. And then they have like really heavy armored units and robotic units, and as you make your way up, some of them mutate. Some are like sort of insectoid type of aliens that when they bite and kill individuals, they come back as zombies.
That's cool.
That's the fun part, is sort of seeing the different types of
that's
aliens.
That's cool.
I like scary aliens, I really do.
Yeah, that's a funner story.
More fun.
Yeah, I'll definitely have my review of the board game up this week for sure. So check that out. And the series itself, it's kind of cool. I love when franchises get big enough and popular enough where the whole universe sort of evolves around them.
Yeah.
Because between 1994 and like 1998, there's like a series of like 5 or 6 games that were developed.
Oh, and yeah. I just recently started hearing about it because it's getting so much popularity.
And there's also in the 2012 XCOM Enemy Unknown, there's that one that, again, was a huge hit. And there's offshoots of that, too. There's Enemy Within, which was an expansion for it. And then there's, I'm drawing a blank. There's another one that's like a prequel. It's like a 1960s kind of version, of Alien Invasion. So it's got the kind of the cheesy looking,
invasion. Mars Attacks kind of a thing.
That's exactly it. Yeah. So,
which is awesome.
Yeah. But XCOM 2 is getting rave reviews, and it's great though, because for people like me, I stress out when I have to play real time strategy games. So I love turn based.
Yeah.
Like the Final Fantasy stuff, I really like, because you have time. And this is absolutely one where it's almost like a chessboard is set when you start a mission, and you can save, and you can always come back to it and think about, how you move your team around.
That's cool.
I'm big into co-op gaming because I'm not really competitive against the people. Like, I want to like do things.
I am too. That's the
so
one
I'm
thing.
Super into that.
Yeah, that's
for
the
it.
One thing about the video game that they don't have. They have multiplayer where you obviously can play against each other, but the board game is full blown co-op.
That's so fun.
And it's pretty great.
That's neat.
Yeah,
I'll have to play it.
Yeah. Anyways, that's my deal for the week.
It's a good one.
Pick up pretty some cool XCOM. Stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Get a game night going. We want to play.
Oh, I'm sending out the invites.
We're in.
Yep. Yeah, it's definitely something you can knock out in an hour.
Oh, that's cool.
That's awesome.
I think it's what they say. I think it's typically about 45 minutes to an hour, Ricky.
Cool.
Yeah.
And good to know.
It's pretty neat. Yeah. It is. You can play it with 2 players or 1 player or 3 players, but that's a lot harder. Because then you're playing multiple roles.
It's kind of funny when you see that on board games, but I feel like there's always a magic number where the game really lights up, Yeah. And so it's kind of like, if you play it, what?
The more human element you add to it, the more variables there are. So it's always nicer to have more people.
But there's a number at which each game can. Like there's like some games it's like, this is a really great big group game, like a 7 to 8 group game. And this game is actually much better at 4. Like, it's things like that.
Yeah, and this one is like, because it's everyone has an individual role. If you're missing one person, then someone is doubling up. It's essentially you have to like run an NPC, So like when I played at home, we were doing with 2 people and we have to do 2 of the roles.
Okay.
And with four people, it'd be like, I'm thinking about, like, this would be so perfect.
It seems like it, based on the fact that you mentioned that there's those roles.
Yeah. Really a terrific game, though. Really, really a lot of fun, for sure. Sweet. Again, but if you're looking for a story, it's not. Yeah, it's cool. It's a cool universe, and I love that they've expanded the universe, and that there is a story, and it does, you know, you learn about the aliens and you figure out their motives. And in XCOM 2 absolutely has this sort of, the aliens have taken over, and they're, but it's really about the strategy. It is. It's really about the winning each match.
You're like, yeah. It's about playing the game, reading the story.
It is. It's about killing things. Yeah.
That's
for sure.
Oh, it's fun.
Anyway, so Nerd Mixtape.
Mine's not, I mean, it's loosely related to music. So this weekend I went to the London Hotel and I didn't sign any kind of NDA or anything. So I'm going to say whatever I want.
I think that's what they wanted you to do, actually.
Probably. So I entered a contest and again, Jeff's being plugged a lot in this show. but he's a writer at Tiny Table 3. He passed me the information because obviously I think by now everyone knows I'm a huge Guns N' Roses fan. And Slash has a horror film production company, and he produces his own movies, but he was doing a pop-up movie theater, is what he calls it, for The Witch, which is a movie that actually was at Sundance and did really well, and the director's new, and it's not really necessarily tied to Slash in any way.
He's like executive producing, is that what it is?
No, actually, I learned he just really liked the movie, and he wanted to do something for him.
Oh, that's... Well, that's cool. Just a horror film fan?
And I think it's because he has his own production company. He's trying to tie himself more into the industry.
That makes sense.
So it kind of benefits him too, but it actually is a really good movie. So I went to go see the movie. I won tickets, which was amazing because I never win anything.
And you win a lot.
No, it costs me money. I do stuff, but it's never free. Like, I don't win stuff.
I know. I love, though, that you got to see it, though.
And Slash came out, talked, like, said it was a really cool movie. And so I was just excited to, like, do something that was kind of exclusive because only, like, 100 people went. And Slash was there, so that was cool. So we watched the movie. And the cool thing about the movie is it's basically like New England pilgrims come over from England to practice their version of Christianity.
Did you mention it's called The Witch?
Yes.
Okay.
And this family, it starts, this is the beginning of the movie, so I'm not going to spoil anything, but the family, basically the dad gets kicked out of, he gets banished from the village because they say he's teaching gospel wrong. Back in the day, if you did anything that was like considered not Jesus-y, then you were out.
Is that an adjective? Jesus-y?
So, yes. So they leave. And he finds a new place that's right by the woods. And the first thing that happens is their little baby gets stolen. And that's like in the first like 15 minutes. And they reveal the witch right away. Like some crazy shit happens in a hut. You got to watch it. It was disturbing. And basically they reveal that there's something in the woods. And it's obviously a witch because the movie's called The Witch. And
spoiler,
but the movie is like really okay. It's really fucked up because basically what it is like the family's going kind of crazy because the dad was the one who was so prideful. He left. So the mom kind of resents him for it. And then the baby gets stolen. So the mom hates the little girl who was watching the baby. And then like the little twins that are
more going on here than.
Yeah. And then the little twins are always talking to a goat in the barn. And then, like, they're accusing another girl of being a witch, but she's accusing them. And then there's a little boy, and he's kind of, like, he's coming into puberty, so he's, like, looking at his sister kind of weird, you know?
Ew.
And, like, it's this whole fucked up thing. And, like...
Sounds like my kind of movie.
Well, like, he's just kind of, like, he's noticing...
I thought you were
going
to say, sounds like my family.
Like, he's in the woods with no one else, so he's just noticing... He's in the woods with no one else, so he's kind of noticing girls in general. Like, he's just noticing this stuff. And, again, there's nobody around. No one will talk to them because they're, like, the banished family. So... And then there's, like... the witch is, like, preying on them being kind of already, like... messed up. So like it's a combination of that plus they're messing themselves up, and then it's just like the whole movie just progressively gets worse and shittier. And there's some like really disturbing like moments, and it, you just like at the end of it you're like, god, that was just like nothing good happens. Like, there's no, you know, in a lot of horror movies, they try to redeem it at the end so that you feel good.
Right, yeah.
Then, no. It's
they
just
left you
shitty.
Feeling like shit.
And the cool thing was, at the end of the movie, because I was paying attention to the credits, and me and Jeff both really liked it because we both went. And the dialogue and everything is actually pulled from journals of people who wrote instances of witchcraft. Like, you know how they were accusing people left and right at a certain right. point? So the dialogue is actually conversations that people recorded between other... So some of the dialogue is directly pulled from New England...
Oh, that's great.
Testimony.
I like that idea.
And then it's based off of a New England...
It's even creepier.
Yeah, that's really creepy.
It's based off of New England folklore of the witch's Sabbath and all that stuff. So you just get this really weird, creepy movie. And then the only thing Nerd Mixtape about this, because after... I don't want to spoil the movie. So the only thing Nerd Mixtape about this is after Slash left the movie theater, we got to meet him. And I'm still waiting on those photos. But... so that was the cool part. So Slash was involved, and that's how it was related to music. But in general, the movie comes out, I think, next week. And from what I understood, it was a national release. So it should come out February 18th or 19th. Well, technically 18th, I guess, because Thursday is usually when things come out.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I was just seeing that it looks like it comes out this weekend.
Yeah, so yeah. I think it's really good if you're a fan of, like, not so much, like, gore slasher films, which is what... slasher films, which is what Slash was saying. It's all like, it's not a typical like horror movie in terms of there's a killer out to get you and you know it and that's what's making you scared. It's more one of those movies that steadily builds and makes you extremely uncomfortable, and by the end of it you're like, yeah, and that's pretty much it. Like, it just makes you feel like crap. And the thing is, it's also scary at the same time because they don't really explain a lot. And it's just like that whole...
I'm okay with that.
The whole unknown, and the one girl thinks she's kind of going crazy because she sees stuff, but she's not going crazy. I don't know. It's this whole messed up thing, and you're trying to, like... There's a point in the movie where you're also like, is the witch real? Or is this something that, you know, one of them is kind of thinking? And yeah, it's just depressing.
So this sounds like a good first date movie.
Yeah, I would say. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. What are you doing, Squeaker?
It's also pretty gory.
Stax has Slurpees.
For being, like, filmed in the middle of the woods.
I get just a Deadpool.
For being filmed in the middle of the woods. And again, it's kind of like Hateful Eight. There's, like, a cabin.
Very, very simple setting.
And a field
in
the wood. Yeah. And it's filmed really well.
I mean, you know, horror stories in general, they play on your fears because they isolate you. They put you someplace where there's nowhere else to go. And believe me, a 17th century, you know, American village, there ain't nowhere to go,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Creepy.
And I love that. I love that, the idea. I mean, just the woods is an all-present force, you know, just beyond the safety of a, you know, of not much of a safety of a wooden house is fantastic. I would be, if I lived during that time period, I'd be afraid all the time.
Fuck that.
And they were. They actually were. I mean, yeah. Nighttime was a very scary time. Devils and demons lived out in those forests. Yeah.
I'm getting the heebie-jeebies right now, guys.
You ever been camping and the sounds you hear?
I hate camping.
It's a weird movie, man. And that whole, the whole thing is just like,
I'm
uncomfortable.
I want to see it. I absolutely want to see
it.
Yeah,
it's good. I'd say if you're going to go see it, though, mentally prepare yourself to be a little disturbed in the first like 15 minutes.
Great.
Yeah.
Sounds good. I like scary movies. I do.
I hate them.
Yeah, so Chrissy hates them too.
That's pretty much it for Nerd Mixtape, though. I know it's more of a movie review, but since Slash was there, it's related.
Cool. Anyway, so let's wrap things up. Yeah. Maybe we're gonna take the day off for advice this week.
Yeah, I got no advice for you guys because my life is in shambles. So for my final words, though, I do have one thing. I started. I got Lost Stars, which is the Star Wars book that precedes Force Awakens, written by Claudia Gray.
I think I've heard about that.
And I just started it, and it's pretty interesting. I don't really know who I'm looking at exactly at the moment, because we're starting really... It starts really young, so it's starting with, like, these two young kids, and they're kind of... they become best friends, and now they're growing into adolescence. So it's very cool. I have no idea, like, where exactly... where exactly I am in the Star Wars universe.
Hmm.
But Grand Moff Tarkin is at the beginning of this, and he is a part of this one. So it's okay. Very interesting. It apparently it ties together. So I think right now I'm seeing some people from episodes, you know, 4 through 6 that weren't present in Force Awakens. And I think we'll eventually get to some Force Awakens characters.
That's
but it's mean, really interesting.
Yeah, let me know how it goes. I have to admit that I haven't read a lot of the canon.
This is my first one, actually.
Star Wars literature.
Yeah. This is my first time really sitting down to read one of the books for, like, realsies.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's pretty interesting.
Very cool.
So if you haven't, but it's gotten great reviews. So if you want to read along for when I finally get through it, it's called Lost Stars, and it's by Claudia Gray, and it precedes Force Awakens. So if you like all our Force Awakens talks, it might be a good one for you.
Very cool. I'm other than taking Milo to see Deadpool on Friday, I think that's about it. I know.
So I'm automatically going
and
on
holding
Friday.
His hand.
Well, I know. I'm gonna check out, you know, some of the stuff from the Grammys later on. I mean, Kendrick Lamar I like a lot, and apparently he did really well at the Grammys tonight. You don't like Kendrick?
I don't really like rap. I'm kind of biased on that. I don't mind it. I'm like, if it wants to be its own genre, cool. But don't
Kendrick
sample.
Kendrick Lamar is different than the poppy.
I just don't like the whole sampling stuff, because I'm like, it's not really your song.
Well, it's more about the beats.
I have some
poetry
beats.
Of the vocals.
It only cost me like $250, and they're nice headphones. But I mean, come on.
Anyways, yeah.
And you know it's about those beats too, because they wear them.
And I'm going to check out Geek and Sundry. Actually, had a great article on games for two.
There.
So, and there's a pretty big list of stuff. So I'm gonna make my way through that and see. I could pick some stuff up this week.
I'm loving
the tabletop stuff lately.
Right,
loving it.
It's good. I know it has been really good. The Games for Two is actually a really good one, because we talked about it there, and I was asking a lot about those, just because I was like, sometimes it's just you and another person. Like, what game really works all the time? And apparently, there's one. I think it's called Two Cities or something, where it's kind of cooperative.
Yeah.
And that's what I liked about the article, or the general like listing of which ones they thought were cool, is it's not like you against somebody necessarily completely, but one person will come out the winner or whatever. So I heard that was, I think it's Two Cities is the one that's cool. I'm really interested to play that one.
I have to check that out.
Yeah, you should check. Yeah, that's a good article.
Yeah. So that's what I'm doing this week. And next week, before we do our podcast, we're going to bring in the Star Wars tabletop
cool
miniature game.
X-Wing.
Yep, we're gonna put up some cameras. We're gonna do some battles.
I'm so excited.
It's great.
It's gonna be fun.
We're gonna team up on Milo and destroy his hound's tooth. The toenail.
Not necessarily to plug Geek and Sundry, but I work really hard on some of these things. There's a game night on March 2nd as well. So if you go to geekandsundry.com and you look for, and you search on their search bar, you search game night, you'll be able to see the latest game night. It actually has a map. There's 50 stores throughout the U.S. participating that you can go to. But it's just kind of a good night to, like, everybody who's gone goes like, oh, I made new friends. We're Facebook friends now, and hopefully we'll get together for this next game night. And it's very unforced, and you can go by yourself, and they'll hopefully be like a great host at these events.
Awesome.
But they're really fun. March 2nd. It's a Wednesday.
Cool. Okay, guys. Well, I think that's it.
Well, I didn't give any final words.
Go ahead. You and your towel pants. Go ahead and...
Well, apparently I'm going to go see Deadpool on Friday.
Yep.
We'll see. We'll see if that really happens. I don't know. I'm pretty negative.
Slurpee.
And then I'll probably be there if there's a Slurpee. And we're going to do... You guys forgot we're going to go to The Hobbit on Sunday.
We are.
We're going to go to The Hobbit.
We are.
We're going to go eat our like body weight.
So we're going to see how middle-earthy this place is. And if they don't have second brick.
This place has been around forever. And from what I understand, it's not like Hobbit themed. So it's not like you're going to walk in, you know.
They should throw an apple at your face when you complain.
11 Z's. But from my understanding, it's a boatload of food.
Yeah.
It's like the 9 courses Hobbit style. We'll give the review of the Hobbit in Southern California, this famous restaurant that's been around forever. We're going to eat a ton of food.
And
Stax and Milo have a show coming up on February 20th.
Oh, crap. We should mention this. We will be, let's go to shameless plug mode.
Yes.
Me and Milo, actually, we play music, and we're in a band known as Elephant Named Hannibal, and we will be on K Beach CSU.org,
yeah,
which is from Long Beach State, Long Beach CSU. Tune in to listen to Rebirth of Rock at 8 p.m. on Wednesday night.
8 p.m. PST for those of you not in our area.
Yeah. So if you want to hear more of Milo in stacks, oh my God, talking music, we'll be on for the hour playing some of our own music and some friends' music. And also we're doing a show at the world famous Doll Hut in Anaheim, California.
So if you're around the Southern California area, you can go there and meet them and they'll sign your tit.
We will. I'm going to be signing Milo's tit.
I don't have
Deadpool.
Anymore.
He's going to sign it, Deadpool.
I lost weight. I don't have tits no more.
I got enough for both of us.
I don't want one.
I think. That's it. I had something else, I think, but I forgot.
It wasn't important. All right. Thank you for listening to Tiny Table 3. With your three neighborhood-friendly nerds around a very small table and Milo being negative about The Walking Dead.
Surprise. There's something. There's a plot that we use.
They should give every character week. Towel pants. And
yeah,
I'll be more
seriously.
Into it.
There's a repeated plot.
It's not my fault. But they treat the show like they literally go to the last season and they press rewind
good
and go
night,
rewrite
everybody.
These characters.
I'd rather not a single one in school.
Here, bro, while you still can.
On vacation by the pool. When you're in a crib on a chick by the pool. No! I've never actually written a book. Never read a book from front to back, from page to page. Never read a book.